the OU Daily International Tehillim and Chizuk phone call. This is Naftali Herman from the Orthodox Union. Thank you so much for joining today's program and for making it a part of your day on Friday, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas B'Shalach, my father's Bar Mitzvah Parsha, so happy birthday to him, and the 16th day of the month of Shvat. As always, it's great to be back with all of you. Thank you to our incredible and generous sponsors for their continued support and whose names are prominently listed in the daily OU email. To sponsor future programs, please visit ou.org/call. That's ou.org/call. Please note the deadline to submit a sponsorship for Monday's program is today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. On behalf of the OU, it is my great honor to welcome back to the Daily Call and introduce Rabbi Zev Goldberg of the Young Israel of Fort Lee in Fort Lee, New Jersey, to share Divrei Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Goldberg slowly reciting our three daily chapters of Tehillim, Perek Chaf Gimel, Kuf Chaf Aleph, and Kuf Lamed. As always, those are chapters 23, 121, and 130, and it will be followed by the Mishaberach L'Cholim and Achenu. We had Rabbi Goldberg on way back in the early days of the program, which is incredibly almost a year ago at this point. And so we look forward to having a brief conversation with Rabbi Goldberg to learn more about his wonderful community in Fort Lee. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding Monday's speaker, Bechavod, with great honor, Rabbi Goldberg.
Thank you, Rabbi Herman. It's an honor to be here today to share Divrei Chizuk and to lead the Tehillim. This Shabbos, we'll read Parshas B'Shalach, which parenthetically is also my father's Bar Mitzvah Parsha, and we will learn about the Jewish people's miraculous redemption from Egypt. The Parsha opens by telling us that Hashem led the Jewish people out on a circuitous path when they left Mitzrayim. In Perek Yud Gimel, the Torah tells us, Vayasev Elokim es ha'am derech ha'midbar yam suf, V'chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael mi'aretz Mitzrayim. So God led the people around by way of the desert to the Red Sea, and the children of Israel were armed when they went out of Egypt. Now the Medrash draws a very interesting halachic conclusion based on the words Vayasev Elokim es ha'am. So God led the people out in a roundabout way. The Medrash in Shmos Rabbah says as follows, Mikan amu rabo seinu. From here, our rabbis teach us, Afilu ani shebi soel lo yochal ad sheyesev, that even the poorest of the poor individual is not allowed to sit at the Seder on the night of Pesach until he or she does hesteba. Shekach asa lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because this is what God did to us, Shene'emar vayasev Elokim. So the Medrash draws from that opening phrase of the Pasuk, Vayasev Elokim es ha'am, and the Medrash tells us that from here we learn that every single person, even the poorest of the poor, must do hesteba at the Seder. So my question is as follows. Is this just some cute play on words between Vayasev and hesteba? Or is there a deeper meaning that connects the word in the Pasuk to the halacha of hesteba at the Seder? Rabbi Soloveitchik offers a beautiful insight into this connection. The Rav says, think about how difficult it is on the night of the Seder for an ani, for a poor person, to recline and to enjoy the meal as a free man, because that's what hesteba is all about, to sit in a luxurious way. How can an ani sit and feel free and feel luxurious if he is shackled by his life experience, if the ani is impoverished, if the ani is destitute? The ani likely feels abandoned by God. How can an ani sit down and do hesteba? And the Rav answers, it is precisely at that moment that the ani must remember, Vayasev Elokim es ha'am, that Hashem took us out of Egypt in a roundabout way. In other words, the geula, the redemption, did not occur in a straight line. There were twists and turns for the Jewish people, even when they left Mitzrayim, even when they left Egypt. It's not that they put one foot out of Egypt, and suddenly they were in Israel. It was a roundabout, circuitous journey. And ultimately, the Jewish people reached their destination. The Rav says that when an Ani sits down at the Seder and he feels so shackled by the difficulties of life's experience, it's precisely at that moment when the Ani must remember Vayasev Elokim Asa'am, that the Geula does not always occur in a straight line. And that gives chizuk to the Ani to fulfill the mitzvah of Haseba, to sit and enjoy luxuriously with a deep sense of emunah that the Ribono Shel Olam is orchestrating life circumstances with precision. And ultimately, just as the Jews were able to reach their destination and enjoy a real redemption, so too the Ani can have that sense on the night of the Seder. And I think that that idea is very much relevant for our times as well. We're living through a period of Vayaseh Elokim Asam, a circuitous journey that we're all on. As Rabbi Herman just said, I was on this OU call many months ago, and we're still davening that the pandemic should end. But in Yer Sashem, just like the Jews during the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim reached their destination and enjoyed a geula, so too in Yer Sashem, we will reach our destination of good health and will be able to put this pandemic behind us. And now let us recite the three prakim of Tehillim that are said each day on this Tehillim call. We'll begin with Perek Chaf Gimel, chapter 23. Mizmor le David, Adonai ro'i lo echtar, bino stasha yarbiseini, almei minuchot yinahalini, nashi yesh tovev, yancheini b'magle tzedek leman shemo, gam ki lech begit samavet lo irara, ki ata imadi, shiftecha umishantecha hema yinachamuni, taroch lifanai shulcha neged torirai, tishanta v'ashem en roshi kosi revaya, ach tov v'chesed yirdifuni kol yimei chayai, Shafti, Tveis Adonai, the Orech Yamim. Perek, Kuf Chaf Aleph, chapter 121. Shir Lamalot, Esau Einai, El Hehori, Meyayin Yavo Ezri, Ezvim Neim Adonai, Yosef Shamayim Varet, Ayitei Mamot Raglacha, Ayanum Shonerecha, Hinei Lo Yanum Velo Yishan, Shomer Yisrael, Adonai Shonerecha, Adonai Silcha, Ayad Yiminecha, Yom HaMashemesh Lo Yakecha, Diyareach Balayla, Adonai yishmor chami kora, yishmor et nafshecha. Adonai yishmor techavuecha, me'ata v'ad olam. And finally, Perek Kuf Lamed, chapter 130. Shir hamalot, mimamakim, kirasicha Adonai. Adonai shema v'koli, tihi anod nefa kashuvot l'kol tachanuna im avonot. Tishmor ya Adonai miya'amod, kimcha haslicha l'man tivarei, kivisi Adonai kivsa nafshi v'lid varochalti. Nafshi l'Adonai, mishomerim l'boker, shomerim l'boker, yachel yisoel al Adonai, ki im Adonai hachesed, v'hardei imo fedos, v'hu yiftet yisoel mikol avonosav. Misha Berach, Avoteinu, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, David, Shlomo, Hu Yivarech, Virat, Et HaCholim. Bavur, Shanachnu Mispalelim, Bavura Miskarza, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Yimalei, Rachamim Aleihem, Lahakalimam, Raposam, Lahakazikam, Lahakayotam, Yishlach Lahem, Meira Refuah Shelima, Minashamayim, Lachol Ivarehem, Lachol Gideihem, Misok Sha'archol Ayisrael, Refuah Sanafesh, Refuah Saguf, Ashaba Galot, Rizman Kariban Omar, Amin. Akrino kol beis Yisrael, hanisunim b'tzaro v'shivya ha'omdim b'im b'yam u'v'im b'yabasha ha'makom yirachim aleihem yiyotiyem mitzaro l'rvacha u'me'afela le'ora u'mishibo le'geula ha'shabah galot v'zman kariv n'omar. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Rabbi Goldberg. As we transition into the next segment of our call on this short Friday, first and foremost, how are you, your family, and the community doing?
Thank you for asking, Rabbi Herman. We are well, Baruch Hashem. In the Goldberg family, our slogan is, if our kids are in school, it's a good day. So right now it's yeshiva break, so they're not in school. But generally speaking, you know, schools are open, our shuls are open. So we feel very, very grateful. So everyone's doing okay. Thank you.
Certainly happy to hear so, and a happy birthday to your father as well. So to get us started, for our listeners who may not be as familiar with your community, would it be possible to give us a brief overview of the Young Israel in Fort Lee and the community in general?
Sure. Our shul has approximately 150, 160 members or so. It's largely comprised of people who have sold their homes and moved into the luxury condos that we have in the area. And when I say in the area, I mean, the buildings are like literally a stone's throw away from the shul. Two of the biggest buildings are right across the street, and the other buildings are very close by. These buildings have a lot of luxurious amenities, pools, tennis courts, gyms, things along those lines. So people are very excited to transition into more of a luxurious way of life after they sell their homes. When there's a big snowstorm, they wake up. And have to worry about shoveling snow. So those are the perks that people enjoy in Fort Lee. So it's largely a retiree population, but certainly not exclusively so. We have younger families as well. And I would say across the board, it's a very warm and accepting community, since a lot of people come from different parts of the country. Everybody just kind of molds into one happy family of sorts. So it's just a really warm and accepting and growing community. Lots of people are moving in as this trend continues.
Amazing. Wow, it really sounds like an incredible place. Rabbi Goldberg, what drove you to go into the rabbinate and more specifically to become the Rav of a shul?
So in terms of my decision to enter the rabbinate, I participated on a very transformative program when I was in college. I went to YU. I'm a proud YU grad and REITS grad. And when I was in college, so the CJF had this idea of supporting smaller communities through a traveling kollel. And their first project was a traveling kollel to Charleston, South Carolina. And I was part of that cohort. And I visited Charleston, I would say, I don't know, more than 20 times over the course of 2 years or so. And I fell in love with working in the Jewish community, specifically working with adults. I had been involved in NCSY, very involved in NCSY growing up. But this was really transformative because it was the first time I was directly teaching adults. And I felt that it was a calling. And I have been very, very blessed to live a life where the work that I do is deeply meaningful. And I thank Hashem every day for the opportunity to serve my community. And I worked for 4 years as the assistant rabbi in Young Israel of Century City under Rabbi Muskin. And then we were looking to come back to New Jersey. My wife and I are both from Teaneck. So when the opportunity to serve as the Rav opened up in Fort Lee, we grabbed the opportunity and we've certainly never looked back. The truth is, on days like today, it's frigid here in New Jersey. Los Angeles does seem a little bit more inviting, but we're very, very pleased with our decision to serve the community here in Fort Lee.
Wow, that's an amazing story. Really, really incredible. Last question for you today, and something that's very much on everyone's mind, but I know it's especially with the synagogue, with shul, rabbinic, and lay leadership, is the world changed so much over this past year. Just today, I was working on, together with Rabbi Hauer of the OU, we're working on our next set of guidance that we'll be sending out for communities and for the shul leadership, and just thinking about, in a somber way, the anniversary of a year since really the onset last year of the pandemic in many ways of our communities with Purim. And but in many ways now there's a lot of hope and there's a lot of optimism with the rollout of the vaccines. And down here in Florida, the focus has been on 65 plus, and they've been putting our medical professionals and those who may be at more risk to get the vaccines. And Emir Tashem, please God, in the coming months, we'll hopefully all get to that point. But when you think about your community of the Young Israel Fort Lee, but perhaps even the broader Jewish community, what communal changes do you anticipate as we look forward with great optimism to a brighter future, hopefully in a post-COVID world?
It's a very good question, and it's hard to obviously, you know, look into the future with any degree of certainty. But I can tell you that what I think about a lot, and I hope it's a lesson that people will take with them and it'll stick and not simply fall to the wayside once schools are operating back at normal capacity, is how vibrant of an experience it is to go to shul. Right now, shuls are operating in the most minimalist of ways. You know, they're open for minyanim, but that's it. Davening is short. There's not a lot of singing. Youth groups are very limited. It's happening at all. And there's so much meaning that we enjoy when shul operates as normal. I mean, the gift of singing during davening, you know, the gift of a lengthy rabbi's sermon, if I don't say so myself, you know, but like just the experience of being able to sit and enjoy the experience of going to a Shabbos Kiddush, of saying hello to people. I really feel that this pandemic has highlighted how rich of an experience shul can be. So it's hard for me to prophesize, you know, what substantive changes will take place. But I really hope that the sense of gratitude for the vibrancy of what shul provides is not going to be lost on people. I was reading an article recently by Rabbi Benjamin Blech, who I thought made a really interesting observation. He said that it is telling that we don't call our shuls a base tefillah. We call our shuls a base knesset, because a base tefillah means a house of prayer. And you can really pray anywhere. Many people are still davening in their home. The word knesset, knesiyah, means to gather. But really what gives magic to our shuls is that they are spaces for us to gather together. And that you can't replicate in your own home. So I'm really hopeful, Rabbi Herman, that some of the magic that is already part of our bread and butter shul experiences that we've had to pause during the pandemic, the singing, the friendship, the camaraderie, the hello in the halls, the rabbi speech that can go on for more than 6 minutes, you know, all of those pieces, I hope that we'll just be more grateful and appreciate them going forward as we've been, you know, robbed of them over the past many months.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. We've heard a lot of different responses, and I know this is very much on the minds of Rabbanim now. What's going to be? Are people going to want to come back? Have people become comfortable with the backyard minyanim or davening at home? But I think, and the optimist in me, as I know is with you, is I think there's just going to be an unbelievable hunger and thirst to come back and come back to daven, come back to connect, come back, as you said, as a base connect, to gather together. And I think we're going to see that. And I think we're going to not just see it in a moment of a flash in the pan, but I think it's really going to stick. I truly hope so. Rabbi Goldberg, thank you so much for being on the call today and for providing us with a picture of your wonderful community. As they are with all of Klal Yisrael and of the entire world, our thoughts and our tefillos, our prayers are with you and your community for continued bracha, success, growth, and good health. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and a refuah for all of those in need will be answered, Latova, for good. And may the Rabboni Sha'olam, the Master of the world, please speedily bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Please join us again on Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time as we will hear words of inspiration from Rabbi Chaim Marcus of Congregation Israel in Springfield, New Jersey. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic, wishing everyone a wonderful, restful, meaningful, healthy, and safe Shabbos. Shabbat Shalom.